In John chapter 3, verse 2, Nicodemus said to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Nicodemus said, we know that you are a teacher from God. And the reason that we know this, the proof that we have that you are a teacher from God, is that nobody can do these miracles unless God is with him. Nicodemus believed that the miracles of Jesus Christ proved that he was who he said he was, and also proved that what he was teaching was true. Folks, in the Bible, we find that the miracles of Jesus Christ prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that he is the only begotten Son of God. In John chapter 10, verse 24, the Bible says that the Jews came round about Jesus and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And then down in verse 37 of this same chapter, Jesus said, If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, in other words, even if you don't believe what I'm saying and what I'm telling you, he said, believe the works. The works here are his miracles. And Jesus said that you need to believe those works so that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Well, as you go through the book of John, you find that people began to ask for even more evidence. And you even find that one of the apostles asked Jesus if he would show them even more evidence that he was the Son of God. You would think that they would be satisfied with all the miracles that they had seen, especially the apostles. And yet we find in John chapter 14, verse 8, that Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. In other words, that will be enough. We will consider that to be sufficient if you will just show us the Father. Well, Jesus got on to Philip. The Bible says in verse 9 that Jesus said to him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, in other words, if you don't believe what I'm saying, and of course Philip did, but he said, even if a person doesn't believe what I'm saying, he said this in John chapter 14, verse 11, or else believe me for the very work's sake. That is, on the basis of these miracles themselves, you ought to believe that I am the Son of God, and you ought to believe what I'm teaching and what I'm saying. Now, what we're going to look at today is the question, who is Jesus? And our answer in this particular lesson is, Jesus was a man of miracles. Jesus proved himself to be the Son of God by all the miracles that he did. Now, there are skeptics, there are atheists that would look at that statement and say, well, but how do you know that what you read in the Bible is true? How do you know that that record is actually accurate? Well, we're going to examine those questions in later broadcast. We're going to look at the evidence and the proof that the Bible is the inspired word of Almighty God, but that will be, Lord willing, sometime in the future. For right now, we're looking at what the Bible says about these miracles. And what I'd like to ask you to do right now is to turn to Acts chapter 3, because we're going to look in Acts chapter 3 and also in Acts chapter 4 at a particular miracle. Not a miracle of Jesus Christ, but a miracle that did prove that the apostles were apostles of Jesus Christ. And this particular miracle has the same characteristics that we see in Jesus' miracles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's interesting to compare this particular miracle, a real, genuine miracle, with some of the false claims that we find being made today. Acts chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 1, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame, that is crippled from his mother's womb, that is, from the time that he was born. Now the Bible tells us later in Acts chapter 4 that this man was over 40 years old at this time. So notice here that the Bible says that he was born crippled. So there's no way that this can be staged. There's no way that this can be any kind of fake sign or fake show. The Bible says that this man was born crippled, and not only that, he was carried, the Bible says, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Oftentimes, when you would have a crippled person in Bible ages, you find that people would take that crippled person and that individual would be a beggar. That person would beg for money or for something to get by with. And so the Bible says that these people are taking him daily to the temple so that he can ask alms or ask for some kind of gift from the people that come by. Well, the Bible says that he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple. And the Bible says in verse 4 that Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. That's when Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Well, the Bible tells us also in verse 10, "And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." Now, I want you to notice several things about this miracle. In the first place, these people who saw this miracle knew the crippled man. This man was being brought daily to the temple, so they saw him on a regular basis. They knew the man. They knew that he was crippled. I don't know how long they had known him. I don't know if they'd known him all his life, but they had known him long enough to know that he was really a crippled man. He was not putting on an act. He actually had this physical condition. Now compare that to some of the stage shows that you see today, where some kind of preacher who claims to be a miracle worker brings in strangers before an audience of people, and he tells them that this person or that these people have these certain conditions. And how do they know that? Well, because the preacher tells them. They don't really have the ability to verify that. They don't really know the condition of that person because they don't know the individual. You see what a difference these Bible miracles make? You see what a difference there is between real, genuine Bible miracles and some of the shows that are being put on today? Number two, these miracles, and this miracle in particular, was done in the presence of these witnesses. It was not done backstage. It was not done in another town, and then the healed man is brought before this audience of people, and they're told that he was actually healed in that town that they just came from. That didn't happen. Peter and John took a man that they knew was crippled, and they healed that man in the presence of these people. And so the Bible tells us that all the people saw him walking and praising God, Acts chapter 3, verse 9. Now again, this is quite a difference from some of the reports that you hear today. Here's a person that says, "Well, I know somebody that heard a story about somebody that was raised from the dead in another country." That didn't happen in Bible times. What happened in Bible times is that when a man was raised from the dead, when demons were cast out, when a crippled man actually walked miraculously, the Bible says that was done in the presence of these eyewitnesses. Now, this is what we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the miracles of Jesus Christ. Jesus did those miracles in the presence of many witnesses so that people would have absolutely no doubt, if they were honest, they would have absolutely no doubt that a miracle had been performed. Number three, we find that the results of the miracle were instant. In verse 7, the Bible says that Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now again, let's contrast that with some of the stage shows that you hear about or even see today. Here's a person who is supposed to be ill. And the preacher says, we're going to pray for you, and we don't have you all the way healed yet, or we don't have you healed, but keep praying about that, and pray that a miracle will happen in your life. Well, when a real miracle took place in Bible times, folks, it was not delayed a week or two. The Bible says that that person was healed immediately. Number four, these miracles were so plain that they were acknowledged even by those who denied the source or the message which was attached. Now, what I mean by that is this. When Jesus and his apostles worked miracles, those miracles were so clear, they were so powerful, that even the people that refused to listen to Jesus and refused to believe on him acknowledged at least that he worked miracles. And they did the same thing here in Acts chapter 3. Now, there's a story back in Matthew chapter 12 that we won't turn to. But in that chapter, you'll find that Jesus cast a demon out of a certain person. The Pharisees saw what he did, and they couldn't deny it and save face. They could not have any kind of credibility at all in the presence of the people if they said, well, he didn't work a miracle. That was just a fake kind of sign. But what they did was this. They said, yes, he worked a miracle, but he did it by the power of the devil. And so Jesus came back and showed them how silly it was for them to say that the devil would cast out his own demons. That's just crazy. That's just ridiculous. But what we find is that the evidence of the miracle could not be denied because it was so overpowering. Now, what we read in Acts chapter 4 is that Peter and John were arrested because they were preaching the resurrection. But when they were arrested, they were brought before the Jewish council. And when they were, the Jewish council warned them about what they were doing. And here's what the Bible tells us about these unbelieving Jews. Now remember, this council is made up of people who are against what the apostles are doing. They don't believe in their message. They're not Christians in the slightest sense of the word. So the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, that they were beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, and they could say nothing against it. So, you see, if this had been some kind of show, if this had been staged, those Jewish leaders would have pointed that out. But they couldn't argue against it. The Bible tells us in verse 15, and when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. A genuine miracle in Bible times was so plain that even the enemies of the gospel of Christ acknowledged that a miracle had been done. That is one of the key differences between the so-called miracles that you hear about today and the genuine miracles in the Bible. Jesus was a man of real, genuine miracles. He is the Son of God.